I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. On today's episode, I'm covering another important sabermetric stat you can use to evaluate players in your fantasy baseball league, and we'll go over some draft cut keep decisions. Let's get into it. Last week, I introduced the importance of Fangraphs data and how having an understanding of that data can improve your fantasy baseball team. My guests and I talked about hard contact percent, but what I really want to emphasize is the importance of not looking at just one stat. A player can be elite in one data column, but because of other advanced data combined with standard statistics like runs, home runs, and RBI, the player's performance may be suffering. Likewise, their performance may be affected by some bad luck, and there is a way to figure out if that's the case. Understanding the data can help you capitalize on a player like this, a buy low target who may not be doing so hot at the moment, but who's poised for a turnaround. Understanding how to parse through the data can help you see an uptick in production before it actually happens, and it may result in you getting a good player for cheap. On the other hand, someone's BABIP may be sky high and inflating their other statistics, so you may be able to predict a significant drop off before it happens and be able to sell high. So that stat's called BABIP, spelled B like boy, A, B like boy, I, P like Paul. So like I said last week, hard contact percent or hard contact rate, hard hit rate is the first thing I look at when researching players. I check this data on fangraphs.com throughout the entire season. The hard contact percent shows how well a ball is being hit by a player. Of course, you want to look for who's hitting the ball the hardest because those players are making the best contact. The second stat I look for after finding the leaders in hard contact is BABIP. So what in the world is BABIP? It stands for batting average on balls in play. It's commonly referred to as the batting luck statistic. The simplest definition I found is from Fangraphs, and that is that it measures how often a ball in play goes for a hit, while excluding home runs, strikeouts, walks, sack bunts, hit by pitch, and catcher interference. Essentially, it tells you what's happening for a hitter when he hits the ball and it goes somewhere in the field of play. Did he get on base via a hit? Did a lousy defender miss an easy catch or throw? Did a gold glover get to a ball for an amazing out? All of those things are factored into BABIP. It's important to understand how to read the statistic in order to understand its importance to the fantasy baseball landscape. It can be a little complicated to understand, so I'm going to try to make it as easy as possible to get. One thing to understand about BABIP is that a standard BABIP is different for everyone. In baseball, we like to say that a good batting average is 300, but that doesn't necessarily work for BABIP. Yes, a BABIP of 300 could be decent, could reflect that a hitter's doing well, but not everyone hovers around that level. Some batters have a career 350 BABIP, and others have a career 270 BABIP, and both could be decent hitters. What you have to do in looking at BABIP is to compare the player's current BABIP with his career BABIP. That should help you gauge if he's underperforming, overperforming, or doing exactly what he should be doing. For example, if a player with a career 300 BABIP and a 280 batting average is having a season where his BABIP is 200 and his batting average is 240, you can reasonably assume he's having some bad luck and there will be a turnaround at some point. And a great example of this is Jose Ramirez from last year. Another reason why BABIP may change from player to player so much is that some hitters are just better than others, so their BABIP reflects that. For example, Mike Trout's BABIP is 351 and his career batting average is 306. He's an amazing batter, and you know, he may be the best of our time, maybe the best of all time. But one reason his BABIP is so high is that he's able to put the ball where he wants. He's an elite hard contact hitter, so he hits the ball hard to places where the fielders can't get them. And because the harder a ball is hit, the more likely it is to be a hit. And, you know, if a player's hitting a bunch of line drives with good contact, they're likely to have a higher BABIP than somebody who is not doing those things. BABIP also factors in defense. If a batter is hitting into a shift all the time, it's likely their BABIP drops. And if they're playing against a team full of gold glove caliber players, it's likely their BABIP drops. The reverse would go for batters not getting shifted and playing against lousy defenses. This is why BABIP is considered to reflect luck. You know who else has a sterling career BABIP? Shin-Soo Choo. 338 career BABIP and a 277 career batting average. How's that happen? Well, he's an outstanding line drive hitter over his career. He's able to spread the ball all around the field, making him difficult to shift against. And earlier in his career, he was very quick and could reach base on those hard or deep infield hits. So while he may have a BABIP pretty close to Mike Trout's, we wouldn't consider them even close to the same caliber of player. But Shin-Soo Choo is still a reliable fantasy outfielder, especially in deeper leagues. But this is also why you must not compare BABIP between players. To find how players are doing with this stat, go to fangraphs.com. You should also be looking at your own roster, maybe someone in your league or the waiver wire if you're looking for a buy low player. What I want you to do is to look at a single player's BABIP and compare it to their career BABIP, because different types of players will have different results in their BABIP. Next, choose any player from your team or someone from another team or the waiver wire who you want to check out. Could be someone who you think is underperforming, overperforming, or is spot on where they should be doing. I'm going to choose a player from last year that seemed to have a down year, and that's Manny Machado. And so what I'm going to do is head to FanGraphs and search for Manny Machado in the search bar. And I'll scroll down slightly to the first section that has the dashboard and customized tabs at the top. And here you'll find the basic stats, including a column for BABIP. And this is where we'll look to see if Manny was under or overperforming last year, or if he was doing exactly what he should have been. And so he has a career 298 BABIP, which has resulted in a career 279 batting average. This shows he's been a pretty decent hitter over his career, a good sample size of 7 seasons. Last season, his BABIP dropped to 274, resulting in a 256 batting average. Now, compared to 2018, he struck out more in 2019 and walked about the same, but that shouldn't factor into his BABIP drop because it only deals with the balls he puts in play. So what's different? What was different in 2019? Interestingly, his hard contact was up, and the only change in his line drive numbers is a 1% increase in ground ball percentage, and his contact numbers were down. So what went wrong last year? Sometimes the numbers don't tell you exactly, but the likely thing is he simply just got unlucky. Defenses may have used data to optimize their positioning against him, and although he hit the ball well, he may have just hit the ball directly to players in the field without even trying. He also changed leagues last year and may have suffered from adjusting to playing in new parks and against new teams, but what the data tells me is that in the upcoming season, he's likely to have made those adjustments and is probably going to have some positive regression towards his career numbers. So who's someone off the radar to target for this upcoming season as we wait for baseball to come back? That's the tough part, because you really have to look at this player by player, and you have to factor in some other information as well. Again, it's not smart to just look at BABIP alone and assume a player is good or bad. I recommend seeing who's available at a position of need for you, or once the season begins, you can look for the statistic where your fantasy team is struggling. For example, if you need RBI, look for players that are producing RBI. If you need stolen bases, look for the players who are producing them, and from there, search their statistics and fan graphs and analyze that way. And also remember to look at the whole picture and not just BABIP. That being said, here's someone I'd look into picking up for the upcoming season, Marcell Ozuna. Out of qualified players last year, he had the 10th worst BABIP and was nearly 60 points below his career average. His batting average suffered, but he hit the ball extremely well last season and had contact numbers in line with numbers from his career. He just seemed to have suffered some bad luck and maybe down on people's draft lists because of it. Go after Ozuna. He'll bounce back this year, especially being in a stacked lineup in Atlanta. I hope this wasn't too confusing, and I hope this helped understand one of the most misunderstood statistics in baseball. In just a minute, we'll go over some of your questions on who you should draft, keep, or cut. A lot of people have a hard time deciding who to go after when there are a couple of good options on the board. The same goes for cutting players, but in deeper leagues, it's extremely difficult to decide who stays and who goes. One thing to remember, though, is oftentimes you can end up drafting that one guy you'd like to keep, but can't keep because of roster limitations. So what we're going to do is a segment called Draft, Cut, Keep. The first question is from Mike, and it's deciding between Stanton, Judge, and Blackman for the last keeper slot. And for me, this is a no-brainer. Draft Judge. Don't keep him, but go after him early. He's young, and if he can stay healthy, he could be excellent. And with the season starting late, that gives him extra time to heal from injuries, where, you know, if the season had started on time, he wouldn't have been playing until May or June. And now that might be when the regular season starts. So he becomes a little more valuable in that way. I would cut Stanton. Always hurt. Not worth how early you'd have to draft him, and can't argue keeping him over Charlie Blackman. Mr. Consistent. Bats 300 every year, hits 30 home runs every year, plays half of his games in Coors. Easy decision. Draft Judge, cut Stanton, keep Blackman. Next is a list of six potential keepers from Nick. You got Lindor, Mookie, DeGrom, Tatis, Verlander, and Ramirez. Jose Ramirez, that is. In this case, we would cut one, draft one, and keep four. First, draft Verlander. He's been really consistent through the last couple of years, worth at least one more year as a top 10 starting pitcher. Draft him early. Cut Ramirez. Not worth a keeper slot because of what he did last year. And I want proof this year he's back to a top player. And in my opinion, he's not worth as early of a pick as he's going as in drafts. That means keeping Lindor, Mookie, DeGrom, and Tatis. DeGrom is one of the top pitchers in baseball. Lindor and Mookie and Tatis are all 4 to 5 category players, and in my opinion, they're the safest bets. And last one is Jeff. He's in a similar position, deciding between Devers, Gerrit Cole, Jorge Soler, Baez, Starling Marte, Real Muto, Hyunjin Ryu, and Josh Bell. So my inkling is to draft Josh Bell early. I went after him early in one of my mock drafts after our keeper rounds, and I think he's worth an early look. To me, he just misses the cut for keeping. But if I were Jeff, I'd go after him early. He's had one great season, and he tailed off production in the second half of that season. So I like him, but I want to see how he does next year. And if someone else scooped him up in the draft, I'd be okay with finding an alternative. I'd cut Real Muto, Soler, and Ryu. These three are not worth keeping, in my opinion, and they aren't worth, you know, a first or second round draft pick. There's no way Ryu repeats his stats from last season, playing against Tampa in New York. Soler had a monster year, but he's only had one like that, and I need to see it again to believe it's his new normal, and you can't just draft a catcher that early. So keep Devers, Cole, Baez, and Marte. So since it's been mentioned a few times lately, and since it's the third thing I look into after hard contact percent and BABIP, we're going to go over line drive percent next week and add another piece to the data puzzle. We're also going to be talking about some modified draft strategy and how to handle pitchers that may have been on a pitch count had this been a normal season, and players coming back from injuries, and how you may want to shift your strategy in drafting those types of players for this shortened season. All right, thanks for listening.